Amen. You know what the next question is? How do you know? And? And I believe it. It's great that the word says so, but if you don't believe it, it'll be just as if it wasn't written. See, the written word doesn't help us. Believing the written word helps us, okay? I have a question. It came up in me during Hour of Power. And so I just figured, well, I'm going to ask it. And we'll talk about it. The question is, do you agree with God or the circumstance? Well, see, everybody says, I believe in God. Until the circumstance. And then our actions don't seem to line up with our words. I remember, you know me and my stories. But growing up, you know, guys would put out words. They'd say things. You know, I had two older sisters that always seemed to get in trouble by picking on the guys. My older sister was just mad at everybody. And my second oldest sister just liked to flirt. I mean, that's... Sorry, sis, but that's what you did. And even though she did, and I'm the younger brother because I'm the number three child. I'm the oldest boy, but number three child. And my thing is, nobody's putting their hands on my sisters. I don't care how old they are. So one sister's two years older, one is 1 year older, and they're bothering my sisters. And, you know, they said, well, I'm going to tell my brother. And they know I'm a younger brother. They don't care. Until I showed up. No, it wasn't that I was as big. I showed up, and they knew that I wasn't someone that was afraid of them. And they knew that even if they won, I was going to do some damage before they took me out. So their whole attitude about bothering my sisters was no longer in agreement with what they said, because I came along. And because I came along, their attitude about what they thought they could do or thought they could accomplish changed. That's what happens to us when our bodies get attacked. When everything is going smooth, when everything is peaceful, when nothing is hurting, everybody's filled with faith. Everybody's talking faith. Everybody's strutting around. I'm healed and whole. Never been better in my life. Then the doctor says, we see something. They don't even say we see a mass. We see something. And the hairs on our neck start standing up. And our hearts start palpitating. And we start calling. You know, I need you to get in agreement with me. Well, what's the matter? Well, the doctor said they saw something. What'd they see? I don't know. And we start thinking about the circumstance. We don't walk around, I'm the healed. Yes, with this... We're thinking about this circumstance. And we get in agreement with it before we even know what it is. I mean, right? you tell someone you see something, and I think you need to go and get a scan. They hear cancer. Okay. And they start acting like they have cancer. And not acting like, well, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke this. no. They're like, I have cancer. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yes, you do. The first thing you need to do is stop being in agreement with the circumstance and be in agreement with God's word. I've been thinking, you know, it started late last night, and I went to sleep with it on my mind, and I woke up thinking about it. And all day I've been thinking about it. Pastor and I have been talking about it, how much agreement plays a part in everything. In everything. See, because before we can receive our healing, there has to be agreement. And it has to be an agreement with God and with God's will. It's do you agree with God's will or the circumstance? That's the title, Josh. Do you agree with God's will or the circumstance? Okay. As Barney Fife would say, you all know who Barney Fife is? Okay. Those listening don't know, he's the deputy sheriff on the Andy Griffith Show. And one of his sayings was, there can't be one iota, not one iota of doubt or uncertainty can exist in the life of a believer. If you want to know what an iota is, some of these other definitions may not help. This one would. It's just not one smidgen, not one speck, not one ounce, not one particle, one crumb, not even a trace or a hint or a scintilla or a molecule or a grain, an atom, a jot, or a mite of doubt or unbelief can exist. Because that infinitesimally small amount can sabotage your faith. Because it'll look bigger than it is. Always looks bigger than it is. You know, one of the things that we used to do consistently when we did pregame warm-ups, even though they put the rule back where you could dunk on the layup line, they'd taken it out for a while, none of our players would dunk during warm-ups. We just took layups, normal layups, and the other team is looking, they can't even jump, they can't, you know, we're just doing normal layups. When the referee blew the whistle for all, you know, pregame warm-ups to stop, we didn't care if they called a tech, because a couple of times they called a technical foul on us because we didn't stop. Once they blew the whistle and the other team was walking off to get ready to start the game, we went through one more round on the layup line, only this time each person did the most ferocious dunk in their arsenal. The last thing the other team saw and heard before the game started was boom, boom, boom. That's all they heard. Now, we had someone about this tall who could dunk. But to the other team, he looked like he was this tall because they saw him dunk. And all during the game, they're like waiting for it to happen. We know we're going to get dunked on. And they lost the game before it even started. Because in their minds, they couldn't see how they could deal with us. And the enemy does the same thing and presents the same thing when it comes to sickness. It's just warming up. It hasn't even started yet. And we have ourselves defeated because we allow that symptom to be greater than our faith. We allow, because we get in agreement with it. I was in agreement with high blood pressure because I had spent time meditating on it day and night, expecting it to do all that it said it would do. I studied it. I did. I found out all the intel that I could and did no intel on what God said about it. So guess what I believed? I believed the circumstance. I didn't believe God's word. I didn't get rid of. Now, I'm not trying to present to you that, you know, doubt is never going to show up. Yeah, it's going to show up. But when it shows up, you got to do something else. Barney Fife says you got to nip it. You got to nip it in the bud. You can't wait until it gets full grown. Yes, you can still beat it, but now it's going to be much harder and take more work. But when doubt and unbelief shows up and you wipe it out before it can take root and grow, you'll be much better off. Much better off. 2 Timothy 3. Because the only way we can get rid of all doubt and unbelief is we have to know what God said and we have to believe it. It's really just that simple. But 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, Amplified Classic Edition, says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof, that's correction, and conviction of sins, for correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. So it's God's word that makes it possible for mankind to live out, do, and achieve God's will. So since every scripture is God-breathed, and since it's given for instruction and correction so that we can live out God's will, why won't we take time to find out what God's word says? Why won't we take time to find out what it means? Because it says in conformity to God's will. Well, if God's will, or since God's will, is for us to be healed, then God's word will cause us to live in conformity to his will, which means God's word will cause us to live healed, healthy. But we have to know it. We have to know what it says, and we have to get the revelation knowledge as to what it means. And then when we do, and once we do, we get in agreement with that word, we start seeing changes in our bodies. But we have to understand the process, so to speak. That's why it says we have to meditate on the word day and night. It didn't just say read the word of God and you're good. It said meditate on it day and night, observing to do all that's written therein. That means as you're reading it, you're getting revelation on how to apply it to what you're doing now. Not next week. What you're doing now. So why not next week? Well, next week's not promised to you. You need to know what to do now so you can get to next week. What am I supposed to do now? What's this word mean to me right now, right where I am? I mean, it already tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that God is continually giving us revelation knowledge. So since God's continually giving us revelation knowledge, we need to take the time to listen and then line up with it. What do I mean by line up with it? Agree with it. Because, like I said earlier, the word by itself is not enough. Your agreeing with the word is what changes your life. Although not agreeing with the word will change your life. But it'll change it in a negative way. Okay. No, we want our lives changed to be in conformity with God's will. And none of this happens automatically. We have to make, God expects us to make, you know, a consistent effort to gain knowledge and understanding of his word. He's not going to, you know, just like watering a plant, just pour it on us, and then we're just going to automatically take it. No, No, he puts it out there. We have to go after it and take it in. The word is a seed. We have to plant it in these bodies. Because it's that revelation knowledge that'll send sickness packing when it shows up. And it's going to show up. I don't know of anyone who's gone through life and the symptom never attacked their body. Something came. What they did with it is, when it comes, it's one thing. What you do with it when it gets there is something else. You know, we're familiar with the scripture in John where Jesus said, the thief cometh, but for the steal, kill, and destroy. So we know the intentions of the thief. Whether or not he can do the intentions depends on our defense system. Just because he showed up, I mean, before I was saved, when I was younger, I had Brownie. It's a big German shepherd. The thief came. Brownie, I called the thief a snack. Because if they came in, Brownie was going to latch on to them. And Brownie would let you come into the yard, would not let you leave unless a family member let you out. Now, we didn't train him to do that. He just picked that up on his own. And he would herd you into an area. And you stayed there. Until any family member could come out and say, Brownie, it's okay. And he'd back up and look at them. And he would look at them and look at the gate. And they would just go out the gate. And he did this on his own. We didn't train him to do that. But that's the way we have to train ourselves to be when the enemy comes in. We have to have already put the word in us. In the middle of attack is not the time to pull out your Bible and find a scripture to stand on. It has to be something that's already deposited in you that the Holy Ghost brings out of you. So there can be nothing that even suggests that there might be an iota of doubt or uncertainty. There can't be any. You have to consider all doubt and uncertainty as weeds and nip them in the bud. It can't be anywhere in your heart. It can't be anywhere in your thinking. And here's one that surprised me when it popped up in my thinking. It can't be in your body language. You have to walk victoriously. You have to stand strong. Because, see, sometimes our body language will show what we're really thinking. When someone walks up that you don't want to see and you see them, it's like... And then you say, well, praise the Lord. Well, they already saw what you really meant. That's right. When sickness comes, you know, when a doctor gives you the report, you know, he said, no, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you go, okay. Okay now. All right. No. I told you, when you have multiple blood clots in both of your lungs, okay. The guy looked at me. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Did you not understand what I said? Yes. He said a blood clot formed in my leg, broke into pieces. Those pieces traveled up my leg, through my body, lodged in my lungs. He said, yes, I got it. You're not concerned. Nope. I'm not. And I wasn't. And I told him why. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations, but be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. So, Doc, you could say in this world you might have blood clots. Don't get upset about it. Jesus already defeated them. He took away their power to harm me. I didn't say I don't receive blood clots. they were there. They were in the scan. I mean, you could see them. It's dumb to, you see it's there and you act like it's not. That's dumb. You do something about it. Well, I let the word do the work. And I asked God, I didn't assume that God wanted me to use, you know, the whole scripture keys on healing. What do you want me to say? What do you want to do about what they said? And then you just do what he says. And you're happy about it because it's God's will, and so you know that you're healed. But think about this, because too many people get bent out of shape when something happens because they think, I'm in the Word every day, and nothing is going to happen. Well, why would there be healing scriptures if God thought that we would never get attacked? I mean, what's the need? Did he have just need so many pages to call it a Bible? You know, but he sent his word and healed you. With the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. If we were never going to be attacked, why did he have to say anything about healing? So we need to stop thinking that just because something showed up that we did something wrong or it's so strong or I'm so weak. It means you're a human being and that the enemy did just what God said he would do. So that means all you have to do is what God told you to do, and it has authority over anything that the enemy wants to do. But we have to be in agreement with that. We have a hard time, seems it's easier for us to believe the circumstance than to believe God. And I understand the reason why. You know, you don't see God, but you see the circumstance. Well, that's where faith comes in. Faith causes us to see what God said just as clearly as one sees it on a scan or on an x-ray. But we have to get to that place. In Mark 11:23, everybody can probably read this backwards, but this is in the Johnson translation. It says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not, this is the key, does not become separated from the statement he makes. That means when you look at that mountain and say, be moved and cast into the sea, that mountain comes up and says, I'm not moving anywhere. You're not backing down from what you said. Because that's what the mountain will do. It will say, I'm a mountain. I'm not going anywhere. I remember this account. I've probably told you this before, where this United States destroyer, I mean, huge destroyer, guns, and everything. I mean, you don't mess with destroyers. But it saw a beacon in front of it, and it sent a signal. It said, adjust your course 20 degrees right. Signal came back, you adjust your course 20 degrees left. And that went back and forth for the same time, you know, for a period of time. Then he said, we're a United States battleship, and we're heavily armed. Adjust your course 20 degrees left. The answer came back, we're a lighthouse. That big battleship adjusted its course because that lighthouse wasn't moving. Okay. And we need to see, Jesus said, we are the light of the world. We're a lighthouse. When a circumstance shows up, we ain't moving. We're not, we have to, I'm a child of the Most High God. And even more so, I've been given authority over you. So I strongly suggest for your sake, you adjust your course because I'm not moving. Period. I'm in agreement with who God says I am. I'm in agreement with what God says I have. Period. And you don't let anything or anybody shake you from that truth. These can't be just lyrics and songs that we sing. We get up happy. I know who I am. I know where I'm at. I know who I am. Then the circumstance comes. We forget the words. Who am I? Where am I? What am I going to do? It says look at the mountain and sit yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. That person will see what he said. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, when what you say with your mouth is in agreement with your heart, your desire will be seen. It's that simple. But if there's no agreement between what you say and what you believe in your heart, nothing will happen. Nothing good anyway. And whatever the enemy planned will come to pass. See, it's what's in your heart that needs to agree with God's words. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if your heart is not in agreement with God's word, your mouth is going to speak its disagreement. And another principle always remains present. You have whatsoever you say. Too many people are sick because they keep saying, I'm sick. Too many people are leaving here prematurely because they're saying, well, I lived a good life. You know, God gave me 83 years. What more can I ask for? 84? 90? I mean, well, my father-in-law, when it looked like he was getting ready to go, and he was in the hospital, and I went up to see him, and he said, I don't mind dying. He said, I really don't. I'm just not ready to go now. And I'm the same way everywhere. Why not? I asked him. And he looked at me, and he said, well, you know, some things I need to say, there's some things I'd like to do. I said, then don't go. He looked at me like I have a choice. I said, yeah, you do. You have a choice. The Bible says you'll have whatsoever you say. So we can get in agreement because it says if any two agree, it's touching anything. So let's agree that you're not going to go now. You're going to come out of the hospital. The next day he was discharged. The next day. 2 weeks later, it was Thanksgiving. And he called, you know, his sons in and other people into his room, and he said some things to them, and he gave rings and different articles away. And a couple of weeks after that, he left. just like he left. He got in agreement with what he heard. The reason he wasn't in agreement with it before is that he never heard it before. Faith comes by hearing. And then you have to, again, I like to put another word in there. I'm not changing the word. Faith comes by believing what you hear. Because you can hear it and not believe it. Matter of fact, in Matthew 13, talks about Jesus when he came into his own country. He went into the synagogues and taught, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom? Said, where did he get this wisdom, and how can he do these mighty works? So they must have seen something. But, unfortunately, there's verse 55. But it said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? When then is this man all these things? And so how can he be who he's saying he is when he's just one of us? And it says, they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save is in his own country and in his own house. And then at verse 58 screams, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They didn't agree that Jesus was who Jesus was. They still saw him as a neighbor. Someone who grew up with them, now he's coming back like he's somebody, some big shot over them. And so there was no agreement. And he couldn't do, even though he had the ability, even though he was willing, even though his heart's desire was to do it, he couldn't do any mighty works there. And I wondered why he was able to do, what said some translation says, you know, he couldn't do no mighty works except heal a few sick folks. And I'm like, why? You know, if he could heal sick folks, why couldn't he do any mighty works? And I got my answer this afternoon. Because in verse 54, it says, when has this man wisdom in these mighty works? They were questioning the mighty works. I never saw that till today. They were doubting, he can't do any mighty works. This is the son of a carpenter. And the scripture says he could do no mighty works. There was no agreement. They had a lot of doubt. They had a lot of uncertainty. In Mark 9, when Jesus came down the mountain, and they went, and the man out of the crowd said, teacher, I brought my mute son made speechless by a demon to you. He said, whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and goes stiff as a board. So he was talking about natural things that he saw happening. And who did he tell this to before he told it to Jesus? His disciples. Because he says, I told your disciples hoping they could deliver him, but they couldn't. Jesus said, what a generation, no sense of God. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. They brought him, and when the demon saw Jesus, it threw the boy into a seizure, causing him to writhe on the ground and foam at the mouth. And he, meaning Jesus, asked the boy's father, how long has this been going on? Says, ever since he was a little boy. Many times it pitches him into fire or the river to do away with him. If you can do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us. And Jesus said, if. He said, there are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. No sooner were words out of his mouth than the father cried, then I believe. Help me with my doubts. Very important statement. The father was saying, really? I agree with that, but I have these doubts that are trying to come. I need to do something about these doubts. I can hook up with this. So he's saying, I can hook up with you on this, Jesus. I can't, but I got to do something about these doubts. And it dawned on me, Jesus never addressed the doubts verbally. You know what Jesus did? He called the demon out. That took care of everything. All that man's doubts, I'm sure, were gone after that. But he didn't stop and have a Bible study. All he needed was the man's agreement. And he had it. He had a guy that had some doubts. Didn't matter. My basic agreement is there. You're agreeing with me. You're agreeing with this. Yes, I believe. Okay, come out of them. And when he came out of them, now this guy is settled. He's settled. I feel sorry for any other demons that showed up after that one, because this guy was settled. The disciples were shaken because they're wondering, why couldn't we cast it out? There's one thing that I saw in this, and I don't want to confuse anyone, because there's centuries of teaching, and I don't espouse to be smarter than any of the folks that, you know, were Bible teachers and Bible scholars. But there's something always bothered me when I read Jesus said this one only comes out by fasting and praying. And I'm thinking, but you didn't fast or pray. If this only comes out by fasting and praying, why didn't you tell the Father, okay, I'll be back in 3 days after I fast and pray, and then we'll take care of it? So my thought was, he has to be talking about something else and is using praying and fasting as an analogy. Well, that's why I like all the different translations, because you can read enough of them and you can get an understanding. In the Message Bible, in Matthew's account of this, says when the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw it out? This is Jesus' response. Because you're not yet taking God seriously. And that's one of the reasons why we struggle with sickness. We're not yet taking what God says seriously. Jesus said the simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, so Jesus is telling them, you don't have any faith. He's not saying you had a tiny, but he's saying if you had. So obviously they didn't, because he wouldn't have to say if you had. He would have said, you have less than. He said, if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Nothing. If you are taking God seriously, if you're meditating in his word day and night, you're observing to do all according to his written therein, you're speaking to the mountain, you're not letting anything separate you from the words that you speak. That's what Jesus was telling them, because when you fast, you're putting everything else aside, you're not even being distracted by food, and you're spending that time giving your whole self to God. And Jesus is telling them, in order to do this, you have to take God seriously. We have to take being new creatures in Christ Jesus seriously. We have to take the authority that we have in Christ Jesus seriously if we want to see those types of results. We have to take it seriously. We can't go around, you know, and then, you know, laughing our way through things, and now something, quote-unquote, big comes up, and now we're going to try and use our weapons? See, we've become a tolerant generation because of the advancements in medical science. I have to believe God, I'll take Tylenol flu. 2 days, I'll be fine. I mean, that's the way I don't have to use my faith for that. But when you use your faith like that, you're becoming comfortable and confident in what your faith does and what your faith can accomplish. If you don't put it out there, you'll never know. That's why people think that they have little faith, big faith. They're not using their faith, so they don't have any idea on what their faith can do. So they think it's growing in steps and things. No, your understanding's increasing. You're getting more knowledge about what you can. I mean, come on, George Washington Carver. I don't remember how many different things he found to make with a peanut. The peanut didn't get any bigger. His understanding of what he could do with that peanut exploded. And we need to have faith explosions where all of a sudden we understand. Wait a minute. I can do all things. That's the type of revelation knowledge that God wants us to have. And you do that through use. I mean, I don't know. I never knew how to handle an automobile in the snow. And going to a driving school didn't help because during inclement weather, they canceled the lesson. So how are you supposed to learn how to drive? That's why so many accidents happen in rain and in snow, because folks, they don't practice driving in the rain and snow. Then it was Times Square stores. And I went to their parking lot whenever there was a snowstorm, because they had a big open parking lot, not a whole lot of light poles. And I would drive the car, put it in the skid, and practice getting out. I do that for hours. So one time the police came and said, "You can't do that here." I didn't think that I had to ask, I thought it was a parking lot. It's like people come into our parking lot teaching folks how to drive. And then one day I'm coming down Harlem River Drive, and at 135th Street, you go up a hill and then you just come down. Well, it had been an ice storm and stuff like that. And I'm not thinking about it. I'm going along highway speed because everything was salted. When I got to the crest of the hill and going over, that part wasn't salted, and all I saw is what looked like glass. I'm doing 60. Okay. Forget about jamming on the brake. And I go onto this ice, and the car, instead of going this way, is going this way. Instinctively, I slowly turned the wheel, and I felt the car kick in, and I slowly started turning it back, and I felt it kick in and go back, and I keep going straight. I look in the rearview mirror, car's spinning out all over the place. And I'm thinking, you should have been practicing. Because the manual tells you how to get out of a skidding condition, but when do you practice? Has anyone ever practiced getting out of a skid in their car? You have a good few. But they don't. No one is created, like they do with jets and spacecrafts. A flight simulator. No one has created a simulator where you're driving down and someone darts out between cars. You don't know what to do when those situations happen, because we haven't practiced, we haven't worked it. And we've done the same thing with our faith. We've been allowing other things to take the place of our faith, mostly drugs. And I'm not against drugs. If doctor tells you to take it and God says, if God is in agreement with it, then you take it. But there has to be that agreement between you and God concerning that medication. If God says no, you agree with God and say no. But if God says, yes, take the medicine, yes, have the surgery, yes, have the procedure, then you get in agreement with what God said. But don't take it upon yourself to let some other means. That's how, I don't know why I don't remember his name. Is Hezekiah the one that went to the pharmacist before he went to God and got in trouble? One of the Kaias did. I don't know. God said, because you went to the pharmacies and not to me. Because folks will take that scripture and say, see, so God doesn't want you to take medicine. That's not what he said. He said you went to them first. Come to me first and let me tell you what to do. If I send you to them, then you're fine. But we take things with little colds, little things like, well, take two aspirins. Would you have a headache? Well, no, with the strep disease or some heals. Got any Tylenol? Okay, I'm good. I'm not knocking anybody that does that. I mean, I believe if I could take something that eliminates the symptoms while my healing is going on, I could be comfortable, fine. But I shouldn't be making that choice without talking to God. That, God, what do I do about this headache symptom? And then whatever he does, whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. One time he told me, just put on some dark glasses. I'm like, okay. So I'm walking around in dark glasses. I don't care. I'm not trying to be cool. It just feels better, and this is the way God said to do it. But when you do things like that, you're getting comfortable walking by faith. You're getting comfortable being in agreement with God's plan and God's remedies for your health and your healing. So when something that we consider major comes along, God, see, God doesn't say there's you know, minor sickness and major illness. You know, we say that. Just like we do with, you know, we have these acceptable sins and these horrible sins. You know, God just calls it sin. But we want to get to the point where no matter what comes, we handle it the same way. We go to God, find out what God wants us to do, get in agreement with that, and do it, knowing that it will work. And not allowing anything, as the Johnson translation says, to separate us from the words that we've spoken. Those words of agreement that we've spoken, we can't allow anything to separate us from those words. We can't. He said, if you had a mere kernel of faith, you'd tell this mountain. He didn't say to it, because sometimes you say things to people, I think you're asking. This makes it clear. You tell the mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. See, the centurion understood authority. We all know that. But he was in agreement with the authority that Jesus had. That's what why would he ask Jesus if he didn't think Jesus had the authority? He was in agreement with everything that he heard concerning Jesus. He was in agreement with it. That's why I told him, just say the word. That's all. Just say the word only, and my servant will be healed. I agree. I know who you are. I agree with it. I understand the authority you have. I have authority. Not like yours, you know, but I have authority. So if I tell them to go, they go. If I tell them to come, they come. So you just say the word. And Jesus was like, wow. I haven't seen this anywhere in Israel. And he should have. You know, he said, I haven't seen this anywhere except in the people that follow me closely. But he said, I haven't seen this anywhere. You know, he said, the servant was healed that same hour. Folks, we have to be in the, see, it was just as easy, it would have been just as easy for the man to just say, oh, well, I guess I'll just have to get another servant because this one is gone. Nobody has ever come out of this. But he didn't do that. He wasn't willing to give up. He wasn't willing. And we can't be, we have to stop being willing to give up. And one of the, I don't know how to say this softly, but one of the worst, no, I can't use that word. One of the most ridiculous things, yeah, that's a nicer word. One of the most ridiculous things that believers say in earnest, heartfelt prayer, God, if it be your will, heal me. Make your homegoing plans if that's your prayer. Because that's a prayer of disagreement. Because you don't know that it already is God's will for you to be healed. And when you say, if it be your will, you're saying, well, maybe it's not. That's unbelief. And you'll have what you say. There's no agreement there. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? The Bible says, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it'll be done. That's why we have to make sure that what we agree as two or more agrees with God. Because that's why God doesn't want us talking about people. Because we'll get an agreement that someone's a bad person, does bad things, and wonder why they don't change. Well, they probably are better off when they're around other people, but you're having what to say. And whenever they come around you, they start doing all this stuff to you because you expect it. And you talk about it, and you've gotten an agreement with it. We have to understand, we have to learn, we have to put value on agreeing with God's word, because when we agree with God's word, all that other stuff that we do will stop, because it goes against what God said. And we find it just seems to be so too easy for us as believers to slide over into agreement with a circumstance or a condition or a cause that's not God-generated, God-ordained. And we have to just stop it. We have to stop it and realize. Sometimes we need to just hear what we're saying. And I say it that way because we hear it when someone else says it. So we have to hear what we're saying. And at times God has said to me, do you realize what you just said? And I think about it, I'm like, I didn't. But I do now. But then I don't take it upon myself. Okay, Lord, what do I say to fix it? Because I've already put words out there. So what do I say? I hear people all the time. I speak crop failure over those words. I don't know if that works. Is that what God told you to say? But we have to understand that the victory that we have over sickness and disease was won for us at the cross. We have to agree with that. We have to agree with that. Yes, it's going to show up. That's okay. Expect it. Then you won't say, well, I'm surprised it happened. I said, why? Well, I'm a Christian. Exactly. And if you read your Bible, you'll read just as much about things going to happen as things that are not going to happen. Jesus said, how did he say it? Not the in this world part. Oh, Pastor Clinton it's what he said to Pastor Clinton. It'll come to me as I'm going back to the office. Yes. Full of talk, man. No man has left houses and where is it? Someone find it for me. A man's left, you know, that and that will receive 100-fold in this lifetime with persecutions. That's the verse I'm looking for. So just let me know when you find it. You have 8 minutes. Okay. Now, I was thinking about, you know, Lazarus and the whole deal with Lazarus. And you have it? Who has it? Okay.
Okay, Luke 18:29 says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or wife or brethren or parents or children for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God's sake.
Mm-hmm. What does it say after that?
Now the other, I just looked up.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right here, yeah. It's Mark, yeah. In Mark 10:29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and brothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Right. So there you have Jesus. No matter what we do for God, no matter how well we do it for God, persecutions are going to come. I mean, that's that's what's going on. So why do we get upset? We lose half the battle there. So I didn't expect this to happen. Why not? Are you not a believer? Didn't Jesus say that this stuff would happen? Why would Jesus have to give us authority over all the power of the devil if the devil was never going to show up? I mean, why would he do that? Obviously, he knew the devil was going to make a showing, and we needed to be able to handle it. So he knew they were coming. He knew we needed a way to handle it. So he gave us his authority. He gave us his authority. The same authority he has over the devil, we have over the devil. The same authority. So the same way he called out sickness and disease, we can call out sickness and disease if we're in agreement. If we're not in agreement that we have the same authority, we won't be able to do it because we won't believe that we have what it takes. And you do. We do. As believers, we have what it takes. Why? Because we have the Word of God. And we read in the Scripture, we'll read it again, in 2 Timothy, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sins, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. So the word of God is fit to tell us what to think, what to act, and what we should be doing. The Word of God does that. The Word of God does that. And there isn't anything, if we get in agreement with that, there isn't anything that the enemy can do to us. Nothing. But we have to be in agreement with what the Word says concerning us and concerning Him. Because the Word tells us that He's put all things under His feet. All things. He didn't say put some things. Didn't say all things except. Said put all things under His feet. So if He's in me, then all things under my feet. But if I'm not in agreement with that, I'll get stepped on. Now, you picture that. Something under your feet reaches out and steps on you. But see, this is a question that I can't answer for you. I can only answer it for me. Because I have to decide if I'm going to agree with God or with the circumstances. And I choose to agree with God. And we have to start making that choice in everything. You can't wait until just, the big ones come because you don't know what the big one is. Do you realize that you can get a splinter in your foot, it can get infected and go septic, and you can die from a splinter that's not treated properly? So we need to ask God what we should do even if we get a little splinter in our finger. Because we don't know what the enemy can take that and do. And we have to stop leaning to one of the easiest way or the fastest way we slip out of agreement with God is leaning to our own understanding. I don't care what worked for me the last time. That was then. This is now. Why don't you do it the same way? I don't do anything the same way. I'm not the same person. Right now, I probably have a 3-inch vertical leap. There was a time when I probably had a 40-inch vertical leap. And I tell folks, I don't need to jump 40 inches anymore. I don't need to. So I'm not going to handle it the same way. If I go down the park and I see where someone shot the ball and was wedged in between the rim and the backboard, would I just jump up and snock it out? Here you go. I'm like, thank you, mister. And I look around. You, why don't you come over here for a minute? Do me a favor, jump up and get that for them. Or tell someone, you got a broomstick? Let's find out there are other ways to do things because of where you are and what's available to you. I don't try and figure it out. And you stop trying to figure it out. Ask God. He's continually giving us revelation knowledge. So that lets us know we must continually need it. And if he's doing it continually, that means anytime something happens, the right answer is always there. The question is, are we going to lean to our own understanding and try and figure this out, or are we going to ask God, who's already figured it out? Selah.